The Ramban dedicates a lot of his discussion here in Parshas Chukas, Bamidbar Perek Chof, to the Chet Mei Meriva. And he tries to determine what was the sin. The Psukim themselves, in Perek Chof, did not really give us much of a clue as to what the sin was. The standard understanding of the Pasha, only because we're influenced so much by Rashi, is that Moshe and Aaron were guilty because instead of speaking to the rock, as they were commanded to do, they hit the rock. Correct. The Ramban is gonna argue with Rashi's Pshat very, very forcefully with a number of objections, a number of questions on Rashi. And then he's gonna offer other possibilities, including the Ben Ezra's Pshat, including the Rambam's Pshat, until he finally offers his own Pshat, which is based on Rabbeinu Chananya. So again, in the Psukim themselves, it's very, very unclear, very vague. And the accusations against Moshe and Aaron are very, very severe. Here in Parshas Chukas, Hashem says, Yan lohem mantem bi. You know, there was a lack of emunah. It seems like it's a crime, it's a violation of faith. And then it goes on and says, lak disheni, you know, you didn't sanctify my name. But then later on it says, Me Meriva Sharavu Bnei Yisrael. It sounds like the accusation, the finger is being pointed at the Jewish people. In Sefer Dvarim, Hashem, when he describes the punishment against Moshe and Aaron, and for which they were denied entry into Eretz Yisrael, you know, the onish is Ma'od Chamur here, it talks about Me'ila, you know, Ma'altem. Me'ila usually means something you misappropriated, something that's Kodesh. In addition to that, it's Maris MSP. You've rebelled against my mouth, my tzivui. So again, there are a lot of different phrases that hurl accusations of a pretty serious nature against Moshe and Aaron. And the question is, what is the sin? So as we indicated before, the Ramban is going to start by quoting Rashi. And what I'd ask you to do is, if you could keep a finger on the Ramban, I'm not going to read every word in the Ramban, because we've gone through some of this Ramban in the past, but I'll sort of focus on some of the highlights. So if you keep, you know, you keep your finger going, you'll see it as I highlight it. Rashi interprets that God commanded Moshe and Aaron, v'dibartem al hasela. He never said v'kisem, that you should give a zetz, you know, to smite the rock, right? And Rashi goes on to say that it would have been a greater Kiddush Hashem had they spoken to the rock. And they would have derived a kal v'chomer. If the rock itself, which doesn't hear and doesn't speak, yet it fulfills the will of God, when that command is given to it, how much more so we, human beings, who have the ability to hear and to speak, we're intelligent, how much more so should we be fulfilling the will of God? So that's the kal v'chomer that they would have derived had Moshe spoken to the rock. Oh, you can help me if you sit here, because you'll be able to... Okay, no, I thought maybe they'll help me sometimes point, okay, if I could look on with you. And then, okay, so that's what it is. Do we have any extra pages?
I got it.
Okay, take these also, because I added the Sfarno. Okay. It's a much better layout. Okay. So why does the Ramban, give me just 1 minute, why does the Ramban find this so objectionable? Why doesn't he accept Rashi? So his first argument is that Moshe was commanded kach es hamata. The Torah says that you should take the mata. Again, you'll have to help me out over here and see if you can find that pasuk here at the beginning of Perek Chof. Kach es hamata. Pasuk chet, or is it Zion? Yeah, chet. So what's the purpose of taking the matah if not to hit the stone with the matah? And the Ramban amplifies this and emphasizes this because we see elsewhere in the Torah, for example in Sefer Shmos, that Hashem commands Moshe to take the matah, and Moshe hits the yar with the matah when he brings out the various makos, the eser makos. Therefore, it would have been pointless for Moshe to be commanded to take the matah if he's not going to use the matah in some way. I don't know if that's a tremendous argument against Rashi. Maybe the matah had to be in Moshe's hands, and it sort of gives Moshe power and focus to bring about these miracles. But then the Ramban goes on to say, what's the difference? What's the difference if Moshe hits the stone or speaks to the stone?
Sure, it's different.
Wait, let me just present the Ramban, and then you'll defend Rashi. We want to defend Rashi, but first I want to present the Ramban's argument. The Ramban says, again, I'd love you to follow it inside. He says, and you may want to even underline it, V'ein ha'nes gadol b'dibur yosem ibat me'aka. What line is that in your printing? V'ein ha'nes gadol b'dibur yosem me'aka. How many lines down is it? Well, the sixth line, Shurashi Shiv. You'll see it over there. He says, the miracle is not any greater whether you speak to the rock or you hit the rock. I mean, you try hitting a stone and see how much water you're going to get out of it. And certainly, even if you'll get a few drops of water, which I don't know, I'm not a physicist, I don't know if that could be done. But nevertheless, it's certainly not enough to give water to lashkot et kol ha'am. So from the point of view of the miracle, there's no enhancement of this supernatural effect of the miracle here by had it been done according to Rashi Pshat by speaking to the rock. And furthermore, why would it be ma'altem bi? Ma'altem bi implies that Moshe, in a sense, took something for himself. That's what you call misappropriating hegdesh. And furthermore, the Torah accuses Moshe of maris MSP, that you have violated my tzivui. Well, Hashem didn't say one way or the other whether he could hit the rock or not. So why is that called a violation of the command of Hashem? Furthermore, the Ramban claims that Moshe in fact did speak to the stone, although not directly addressing the stone, but he gathered together the people and he said to them, Hamin Hasela Azeh Notzi Mayim. Again, I'm going to need your help here to find which pasuk it is. It should say Vayakilu Moshe V'Aaron Es Kahal. Which one, Yud?
Yeah.
Vayakilu Moshe V'Aaron Es Kahal El Pnei Hasela V'Yom Shimun Amor Hamin Hasela Azeh Notzi Lechem Mayim. Meaning, can we possibly take the waters out from this stone? Obviously, the stone is listening, whatever that means. And therefore, the Ramban rejects Rashi. Okay, now the floor is yours if you want to defend Rashi.
I say, my question is, how Moshe can make a big mistake like that?
Well, what I suggest that we do is, let's just see the overview of all the different ways of interpreting. If we go with Rashi, I don't think, at least from the Ramban's perspective, it's hard to answer your question. What was Moshe's mistake? I mean, Hashem told him to take the stone. Okay. In fact, in Sefer Shmot, Perek Yud Zayin, Moshe was commanded to hit the rock with the stone. Moshe assumed that there's no difference between hitting and speaking, and for all the logical reasons that the Ramban presents over here. On the contrary, I think we'd be hard-pressed within the framework of Rashi to understand what was the great chet. We tried to suggest, if you remember a few days ago, that according to Rashi, where does Moshe mess up over here? He undermines the possibility of a kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer, or what I call the Musar Shmuz, that Bnei Yisrael were meant to learn from this episode, was somewhat lost by the fact that Moshe hit the stone. This is why Rashi makes a big deal about the fact that Moshe was not justified in hitting the stone. The logic here is that we want to set up some sort of kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer is from the fact that Moshe spoke, or had he spoken to the stone. You know, you speak to a stone, what does he hear? And yet somehow, because the stone is part of the divine creation, the stone is going to fulfill God's will. Certainly we, when God speaks to us and we hear the tzivri, we actually perceive with our ears and with our minds the command of Hashem. Certainly we should fulfill the will of God. If on the other hand Moshe doesn't speak to the stone but he hits the stone, and according to Rashi it's not enough that the stone overhears Moshe talking to the people, Moshe has to literally address the stone, And that sets up the Kal V'chomer. By the fact that Moshe hit the stone, all that was lost. And then the whole goal here, according to Rashi, is that people are uplifted to a level of Yirat Shamayim where they listen to what Hashem says. The stone listened to what Hashem said. Why don't we listen to what Hashem? If on the other hand, Moshe with his force, you know, takes the water out, then
that's what I said.
And this is
well,
lost.
He didn't listen to the God.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, but again, I don't want to repeat all the Ramban's arguments against Rashi. God told him to take the staff. So again, if you were commanded for the second time in your career to take the staff, and on every other occasion, many times you've been commanded to take the staff, it's logical that you would conclude that the staff is meant to be used, not to be held. Okay, so I don't think that we really have to rack our brains here to figure out why Moshe or how Moshe messed up. On the other hand, now the Ramban is going to quote the Rambam Shita. And here, we're really getting into a very severe Avera. And let's see this inside. Again, if you could tell me what line it's on, because I'm looking at the Rabbi Chevelle's edition of the Moser of Kukram. The third paragraph, the beginning of the third paragraph. Rav Rabbeinu Moshe Sovar. Now, I'm going to do something here. I printed out for myself, unfortunately I don't have enough copies of it, the Rambam's own writings. So there may be, I'm almost convinced there'll be discrepancies between what you'll see here and what I'll read here. And I'm deliberately doing this because I wanna see if the Rambam in his own original presentation will be a little bit clearer than the way the Ramban presents him, because the Ramban is going to call the Rambam's thesis Hosif Hevel al Havolim. You remember that language? See if you can find that in the Ramban. Hevel al Hevel, he's going to say. Hosif Hevel al Havolim. That's a very strong undercut against the Rambam. So what we're going to try to do is to see the Rambam. The Rambam is in the Shmona Prakim, which is in the introduction of the Rambam, I believe, to Pirkei Avos, in the fourth Perek. The Ata Yodea, says the Rambam, Ki Adon HaRishon V'Achronim, the master of all those Jews who ever lived, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kvar Amar Lo Yisala, God said to him, Yan Lo Hemantim Bi. Okay, that's in Pasuk Yud Beis, I think. Somebody, again, if you have the Chumash, if you can double check me.
Yeah.
And then in Pasuk Chav Dalet, he says, Al Asher Marisem. Is that correct? So I'm relying on you here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're my right hand man here, my left hand man. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Does it say Al Asher Marisem?
Yeah.
What's the word after Marisem?
SP.
Okay, SP. Now, again, if you have the possibility of opening up without losing the place here, to Dvarim Lamed Bet Nun Aleph, and there I think it should say Al Asher Lo Kidashtem, at least according to the Rambam, that's what it should say. That's Dvarim Lamed Bet. What is it, Hazinu?
Yeah.
Pasuk Nun Aleph.
Yeah.
Does it say Al Shaloki?
Al Sher Malkin B, Betuk in Israel, Vimei Mariba Kadesh, Yubartzi. Al Sher Loki Dashtem
Loki. So you see it both. It's going to say Al Sher Malkin B and Al Sher Loki Dashtem B. Again, two very heavy accusations. The cheto, his sin, says the Rambam, all of Hashalom, meaning referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, even, we're not used to saying Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Hashalom, but that's how the Rambam spoke. Shenota el echad mishnei haktsavos, he inclined towards one of the two extremes, bimala mimalos hamidos, with regard to one of those qualities, or behavior patterns, v'hiya savlanut, that a person should be patient, kasher natala kas. So the Rambam says that savlanut and kas are two polar extremes, opposites one of the other. And the Torah wants us to go far away from kas, move away from anger, to savlanut. Right? What we call patience. In Israel, you'll hear the word a lot, you know, savlanut, right? Be omro, when Moshe declares, again, we're back to Bamidbar Chof, here, Pasuk Yud, Shimu no hamor. At that moment, says the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu was nota el hakas, and therefore did they Hashem olav. God was very upset with him. Sheyia ish kamohu. This language, I think, you will see in the Ramban. Just double check me. Does he say ish kamohu? Ko'es bifnei kahal Yisrael. Okay, so keep in mind that the Rambam is not saying that anger per se on the part of a leader of Israel is unacceptable. It's completely in violation of the image and the behavior pattern that's appropriate for a leader. But this kind of kas, b'makom she'ein ra'ui bo hakas, that's unacceptable. Ukigon zeh, like this particular case, b'cho ka'ish, with regard to such a person as Moshe Rabbeinu, hu chil Hashem, that's a desecration of the name of God. So now, mind you, at this point in the Rambam's presentation, if I were to stop here, and if you'd ask me what impression are you getting from the words of the Rambam, what is the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, what would be your answer?
Kas.
But it gets even worse, because what kind of kas is Moshe guilty of? Is it private kas or public kas? It's public kas. Shimun Amorim, right? It was stated publicly in front of the whole Jewish nation. Why is that upgrade kas, so to speak, to a very high level of an avera? In other words, bad enough if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gotten angry in private, but when he gets angry in public, why does that intensify the nature of the violation and make it more severe, more strict? Chil Hashem, correct. Public kas on the part of a leader is Chil Hashem. Let's get that down, because that's a very important principle. Why is public kas Chil Hashem? Says the Rambam, Lefisha Tnuotav Kulan V'Diburav Nilkachim L'Mofet. All of a leader's actions, or in this case Moshe Rabbeinu's actions, every single move, every single speech, Nilkachim L'Mofet, are taken as a paradigm to be imitated. He is placed, he is elevated to the level of someone who should be the he should be the example, the paradigm of how to live so that everyone else can imitate him. By imitating Moshe Rabbeinu, the people of Israel intend and aspire to successfully achieve the best of both worlds. Now, I think at this point, I'm almost tempted to add inami, meaning as if the Rambam now goes off in a different way and offers a different interpretation. Because again, until now, it's chil Hashem because of public kas on the part of a leader like, you know, the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. But now, the Rambam goes off, I think, on a different venue. He says the following. The Eich Yira'em Mimenu HaKas V'humi Pulo Tara V'lo Yavo Ela Mitchunot Ra'ot Mitchunot HaNefesh. And I think what's happening here is the Rambam is raising a question which was foremost in the minds of the Israelites at the time that they saw Moshe get angry. They were asking, how is it possible for this great leader to get angry, which is an expression of one of the very, very negative modes of behavior that can only emanate from a very bad quality of the soul? How could it be such a thing? This was the pilpul. You remember we spoke about the pilpul, the cash and the teretz. How could it be? The omnam, and therefore he says, omru bazer, they began to think that there's got to be some answer to explain Moshe's cas. Meritem pi, is going to be a difficult phrase because, again, Moshe is guilty of kas. Why is that called meritem pi? Asks the Rambam. So the Rambam is not finished yet with his presentation. He realizes he still has a way to go. Vizeh shehu lo haya medaber anashim hamoniyim. He wasn't speaking in front of the, you know, the dross, the lowest echelon of society. Velo mishen lo malo, or somebody who doesn't have, you know, a superior quality. Who is Moshe speaking to when he says shimu na hamorim? Ela im anashim, with people shaktanashim b'nishehem, the least of all the women folk, meaning a handmaid, let's say, Haita Kamo Yechezkel ben Buzi, had reached the level of prophecy. You remember when they went out of Mitzrayim and they saw Kriyas Yamsuf.
This is the Rambam saying it?
This is, I'm reading the Rambam.
Yeah. Because that was last, that was the ones at Kriyas Yamsuf. This is the next generation. A little bit late.
I'm not sure. You mean some of them had died already, you're saying?
Yeah,
okay.
The guys here.
That's a good question. I don't know how many, I don't know the answer to your question. That would require research. How many people were still alive from that generation? How many had died? Were the replacements, were the new recruits on a low level? I don't know. Kemosh zakhu achachamim. V'chol ma sheyaseh o yomar, any speech or action of Moshe, yavchenuhu, they, the people of Israel, will check into it. They will analyze it. The kasha ra'u shakas, and when they were faced with this very
angry,
they were baffled by the anger of Moshe. This phenomenon, this expression of kas, amru, they could only justify that and explain that shehu alav hashalom, again referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, eino mi sheyesh lo pchisus mida. He's not. He doesn't exemplify or express the lowest of the qualities of man. If not that Moshe realized, Moshe understood that God was angry at us for requesting water, that we made him angry, Yitaleh, may he be exalted, lo haya koes. Moshe would not have gotten angry unless he knew that we were guilty in the way we behaved. Because the other alternative is to say that Moshe got angry out of the Pchisus Amida. That's impossible. Therefore, says the Rambam, this goes back to what we said before, B'mokom Shein Roy Bo'akas. Here, the kas of Moshe Rabbeinu was not justified. Says the Rambam, V'lo matzanu b'divrei Hashem yit'ale. We don't find in the words of Hashem in this whole parsha here in Bamidbar Chof a love to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bazel Inyan, Lo Kas Lo Ketzev. We don't find that Hashem got angry. Lo Katzaf Al Bnei Yisrael. Ela Omar Kach Et Amata Mishkita Et Eidav Et Beiron. Take the staff and feed the nation water. So again, the Rambam would accept that a leader of Israel could express anger if that anger is justified. And indeed the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah speaks at great length about anger that's justified. Sometimes a leader who's responsible for others' behavior, even a parent, should express anger. Not inner anger, but external anger, you know, for the purpose of achieving a goal. But the Rambam says this anger wasn't justified. So what's the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Rambam?
Misrepresenting Hashem.
So first again, I don't want to go through the Rambam again, but if you go step by step in the Rambam, I think the first presentation is the anger. And the Rambam again comes full swing back to the anger, says that anger wasn't justified because Hashem wasn't angry at Bnei Yisrael. But then the Rambam says, but the problem was the people blamed themselves. And that self-guilt, that guilt trip that the people of Israel experienced was not justified. It wasn't real. So, like you say, Moshe Rabbeinu misrepresented HaKadosh Baruch. So the Maris MSP, I think, that the Rambam is referring to here. You see, the Rambam, after he presents the thesis that Moshe was guilty of anger, then he asks himself, the Rambam, what's Maris MSP? How do you fit anger into that? And then he says that the people misunderstood God's intention over here as a result of Moshe's anger. So now it's Marisa SP. You know, you've undermined my word, says God. You know, people are misunderstanding my own word or my desire, my will. I'm not exactly sure, and I think the Rambam is not exactly sure what to do with. If you take a look at the Rambam, the Ramban, where's Hosef Hevel al Hevel? Do you have that?
Yeah.
Is that in the next paragraph? Okay, so he says Shakatuba Mamaritem Pi. Okay, so that's his first question, but we know that the Rambam himself was sensitive to that question. But then the next question is the Omar Lohem Mante Bi Shalohem Minubo. The punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly explicitly indicated in the Torah because he didn't believe in me. Ain't a onish bavur shakas. The kas is not the reason for the. The Torah testifies explicitly that the reason for the punishment was because of a lack of emuna. That doesn't stim with the Rambam who says it's because of kas. I don't know how to answer that question. Anybody want to suggest an answer to defend the Rambam? This is a very strong objection. Yeah.
Totally.
Lohem mantem b. One second.
The whole thing seems like that. It sounds like he's bringing it out as a nevuah sheker in the way he's presenting Hashem in the wrong way. That's why such a massively.
But it's not out of lack of faith, and it's most.
No, absolutely not. But he's presenting. He's not bringing it down the proper way.
Right, but I'm just saying, why is the Torah accusing? Why is Hashem accusing Moshe of lohem mantem?
From his kas, he's presenting it as if they're looking at him as if he was as if they're looking at him as anything he does. I mean, that's the way I understand. I understood the Rambam.
So wait, do me a favor, Joe, just to cut to the chase. So what does emuna mean in this context? Give me a definition of the word emuna. Because I'm a class, no, you know, I'm stuck in the classical. In other words, I need a new definition of emuna here to say Yan lo hemantim bi. You're lacking in emuna. Why is Moshe lacking in emuna?
No,
because
is his faith in God somehow impaired or limited? Again, he's you're right. You can accuse him of misrepresentation of God. You can accuse him of falsely accusing the people of Israel for overstepping their bounds, and God was angry at them, which he wasn't, and Moshe thought they were. Those are all fine accusations, but why is it a lack of emunah? That's the only question. Words, you have to redefine emunah in the context of this Rambam.
He had no. If his emunah was absolute, he could not have gotten angry.
Oh, now I think you pointed something out. But let me just derive a mathematical conclusion. Anger and emunah are mutually exclusive.
Okay, I want to put it that
way. Right. That's what I would say. Emuna could never equal kas, unless kas is a valid method of educating a person
in a specific time.
I'm saying if the kas is just external, it's just a method, it's a means to an end. It's just like giving someone a patch, you know. But it's not real kas. That's something else. That's not, that doesn't undermine emunah. But when the kas is not justified, meaning when the kas is real and it's not a method, it's not an educational method, then it's a lack of faith. That's what I see in this Rambam. Now go rack your brains and figure it out. But I'm saying that's, as we say in Yiddish, das steht in Rambam. That's what it says in the words in the Rambam. Mathematically, that's the conclusion you have to derive from this. For example, the Gemara, I don't remember where, I think it's in Masechet Shabbos, says, Kol HaKoes Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. That's a lack of faith. Kas is the opposite of emunah,
right,
of faith. It means that kas, again, real kas, I'm not talking about justified kas, is a denial of God's control over this world. If I believe that everything that's happening is happening because God wills it to happen, then anything that happens has to be seen in that context. True, it may be very challenging to me, difficult challenges, but not a lack of emunah. If you have kas, that's a chisar, and that's a deficiency in emunah. But I'll tell you the truth. If you would ask me, whether I should classify the Rambam's interpretation of Moshe's chet as a chet of Bein Onam la'makom or Bein Onam l'chavero, what would be your knee-jerk response? Leaving out this discussion about Amunah for a second.
You mean with
the, yeah, I'm asking
not
you,
the Rambam's?
I'm asking you, take the Rambam and classify the chait of Moshe. Is it Bein Adam L'Chaveru? Is it a moral sin? Or is it Bein Adam L'Makom?
Bein Adam L'Makom.
I would say just the opposite.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Again, leaving out the answers and the pilpul about Amunah and all that stuff, I think the main thrust of this Rambam is that Moshe Rabbeinu in this episode is undermining the Jewish people. I would almost call it an insult to the Jewish people. And I mentioned this comment in the past that I think there's a lesson here in parenting, because if you get angry, the child thinks you're angry at him or her. I think it's a deep principle. We tend to blame ourselves. So for so-and-so, for Ploni Almoni, to be the goring, to be the cause that I blame myself. Again, if he's justified is one thing, but if it's not justified, that's what the Rambam is emphasizing here. They weren't guilty.
But what is the problem? I said this. Because I mean,
you understand which point that they weren't guilty.
That they weren't.
Yeah, that the Ramban is gonna,
not justified.
That's the Ramban's barrage against the Rambam, and the Ramban has many, many proofs that the anger of Moshe was justified.
It's not the first time Moshe gets angry, though.
I mean, no, according to the Rambam, it's the first time that Moshe gets angry.
Unjustified?
Unjustified.
But the Pasuk obviously does not
The Rambam does have a very strong argument in that direction. Again, notwithstanding all the arguments against the Rambam. But if you take a look, what's Hashem's response?
Yes. I agree.
You know, there's no, Hashem says calmly and coolly, again, let's just find the pasuk, Vaydaber Hashem, kach esamata kel sa'aham. There's a crisis situation here. V'divartem asel v'nasam memo. They've got a drink. They've got to have water. That's it. Hashem doesn't say what a bunch of bums they are. It's Moshe Rabbeinu in the very next pasuk who says Shimu no hamorim. That was Moshe's admission.
But he's reflecting on pasuk Gimel. The era of See, I mean, maybe you can distinguish, because Am wasn't making a tana against Hashem. I mean, but in Gimel, they specifically had a tana against Moshe.
Moshe, okay.
Yerubam and Moshe.
No, all right. Maybe that's an answer. Okay, we'll get to that.
And then it says, the Banu Zikbah in Bishnei Hashem.
I will say something like that. Take Moshe his background, where he was, what he did, that one. On the other side, he didn't want to get that job. God forced him to take that job, right? So he make a mistake.
Just another thing is, okay, if you say it's between Leonardo and Chavero, that's fine. But he was, it sounds like Moshe's basically Chayiv Misa. That's what basically Hashem's saying. You're going to die before we go in. So in order to be Chayiv Misa, he's got to be more than Machus. That's the key, it seems to me, that's why I'm saying Ben-Aram L'Makom. Otherwise, why would he be, why is he...
I'm just saying that I'm just making this one point. I think in the development of the Rambam, the way I read the Rambam, the emphasis here is on the fact that the Jewish people think, and it's not true, that they are guilty. That's how I read the Rambam. But, you know, again, we're all free to interpret the Rambam the way we see it. Okay, next. What comes next? Oh, the Ramban again is, I'm not going to go through this long, long Ramban where he brings proof after proof that the Jewish people were guilty over here. And then he says, where does he quote the Ibn Ezra's Pshat? Again, in Rabbi Shavel, he doesn't break it down into paragraphs, but maybe in your printing, it'll be a little easier. Do you see any paragraph that starts with Ibn Ezra? By any chance? No, it's not like that. Again? Alright, so we'll start with the paragraph Vahakarov min advarm. You have that? This is going to be Rabbeinu Chanana. The Ibn Ezra right now escapes me, and I'm just for lack of time because I'm very eager to get to the Sfarno. So he suggests the following. He says the best pshat of all to reject all the questions, answer up all the questions of the questioners. Heim divrei Rabbeinu Chanana shekosav ki achet hu omram amin asel azeh notzi lochem mayim. Notzi. That one word, notzi, where Moshe and Aaron say that we will take the water out of the stone. Ra'ui shiomru yotzi Hashem lochem mayim. So that one slight change in the nusach, they fell short. Kedar she'amru b'teit Hashem ba'erev basar lechol. Earlier in the Maisa of the Kivus HaTava, when they came to bring meat, Moshe clearly said that God would bring down the meat. V'chein b'chol anisim yiduam ki Hashem yasimoim lahafli. But here, lo kidashtem osi. Why? Because you gave a little bit of room, an inch of space, that was open to the people to think that Moshe and Aaron with their own powers were able to bring out the water. He says in the first case, back in Shmos Yud Zion, that was no problem, because there the Amud Ha'anan was present. So the public nature of the miracle was absolutely crystal clear. Everybody saw the hand of God in the supernatural event. But Khan lo ro davar. They didn't see anything. All they saw was Moshe and Aaron in action. V'itachin she'omer v'zeh ma'altembi. Now he says we can justify perhaps the language of ma'altembi, which means misappropriating Hegdesh, because he says they took something for themselves by saying notzi lochem mayim. So again, it's a lack in making it absolutely clear that this miracle came from God. Now, do you have the Sfarno? I hope it came out on the pages that I gave you. Are there any extra copies here? Because I didn't leave myself a copy.
Yeah,
I'll share it. Yeah. All right, here. He says the following. Moshe, hine hamariva in Moshe haisav the amram v'lama bas hevesem eskal Hashem al midbar zeh. All right, let's skip to the next. Kaches hamata v'dibartem al sakfar rovu adeos on the third line. V'inyan chet me mariva. Many people have questioned what was the nature of the sin of Moshe and Aaron. It says about them, lohemantim. You didn't believe in me, ma'altem. You took away from Hegdesh, marisem. If as Rashi would have it, God intended they should speak to the rock. My inyan lekicha samata, as the Ramban had pointed out, why was Moshe commanded to take the staff? V'imhaya chet al shehika Moshe sasela shelo b'mitzvah sholcho b'mecha to Aaron. Maybe if Moshe hit the stone, why was Aaron at fault? Omnam k'shin is bonein b'inyan amariva. When we think carefully about this whole episode, ra'ui shenachshov. It's appropriate that we should think shetia mitzvah sakel bazeh, that the goal of Hashem, when He commanded Moshe to speak to the rock, al ofen, in a way, shiakiru rishas mirivosam. Again, he's assuming, not like the Rambam, that they were very guilty, as the Ramban's many, many proofs to that conclusion. So now, the way that this whole miracle is going to express itself is going to give them a direct communication so that they understand clearly where they messed up. This vadu es chatosam, and the ultimate goal of this miracle and the way it's going to be implemented, the ultimate goal is that they should recite vidui, they should confess their sin, vishavu, and they should do tshuva, repent, virape lomo, and God will heal them. Ki lo yachpots b'mos hames, because God doesn't want the death of the sinner. So this was an opportune moment to convey to the people of Israel a clear message of how they should do tshuva, because how their sin was. What was the nature of their sin? U'bechein navin, let's try to understand their sin. What Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are guilty of is that the sin, the supernatural event of bringing out the water, is not going to achieve its goal, namely to bring the people to do tshuva. It's not going to be a clear message to them, this is the nature of your sin. Omnom hamariva im Moshe, their rebellion, the people's rebellion against Moshe, haisa the omram, was expressed itself in their statement, their declaration, Shahoisa Hanagosa Bilti Shlema Bamesha Heviosam El Oso Khelikarame Amidbar. You, Moshe and Aaron, are not true leaders, are not exceptional, exemplary leaders. There's something lacking in your leadership. You brought us into this terrible part of the desert where there's no water to drink. And all the other things that they say about the desert over here. Lo makom zera uteina v'gefen v'rimon umayim ein lishtos, the whole bit. You, Moshe, are not a good leader, that you took us here. V'al hakel yisbar choysim rilson. In addition to that, they also are rebelling against Almighty God. B'omram Shahutziom me eretz nosheves tova el eretz midbar. Lama hevi osim es kalashem the lama elisam mitzrayim. So there's a double sin, a double rebellion, first against Moshe and then against God. In order to clearly communicate to them the message of where they messed up, hischayev, it was necessary, sheyahanes, the miracle modia, should clarify, shashliach hayam manhig bishlemus, that Moshe Rabbeinu, as a messenger, as a leader, was a great leader. Visham shalleach, and Almighty God, who sent Moshe Rabbeinu, heitiv bishlichuso v'lo hara klal, everything he has done, he with a capital H, is for the benefit of Israel, not for the detriment. Now the Sfarno gives us a very analytic study of miracles. He writes the treatise on miracles. Ubios minia nisim, if you look through Tanakh, and you'll find categories of miracles, al echad mi gimel panim, they fit into one of three categories. There are three categories of miracles. Ha'alif, the first one, Harishon, hu nes nistar, is a miracle that's hidden by nature. Kamo yiridas hamata, for example, rainfall, va'imolek min achaloyim, or some sort of a healing process from sickness, umenatzaros, or other types of things that befall. So the first miracle is where God works within the framework of nature to protect His people. V'zehamin min anisim, the vehicle or the human being who brings about the miracle, who does whatever he does to create the miracle, yasigu hatzadikim b'tfilosom, are the tzadikim who pray to God. He gives the example of vayispal Avram Elokim vayirape Elokim esavim melech v'chein vayispal Moshe b'yad ha'am. So here the man plays a role, the great tzaddik, the righteous individual, plays a role in bringing about this miracle by praying to Hashem. The miracle itself, qualitatively, is within the framework of nature. And we'll see exactly in a minute what the goal of that category of miracle, the first category. But first we want to get the overview of all types of miracles. Habez, the second type of miracle, hu nes nigla, is an absolute change in nature. It alters the rules of nature. Lo yuchal atevel asoso be oso ofen. It could never be natural. It's not like rain or health or the restoration of health. Avol yasu acher. I'm sorry. Avol yasu achar tnu ot rabot b'meshach hazman. In other words, here man's role is to do an entire system, a sequence of actions over the course of time. We'll see the examples in a minute. V'zeh min men anisim yasu hakel yisprach ha'idei avodov. God brings us about through his servants. Im hakdomas ezo tnua misuderes mi'ito. So that man does a certain action, and clearly that action brings about the supernatural occurrence, the miracle. Me'ito, from Hashem. For example, he says, Kinyan Hashlichu Arza, that Moshe brings about the Makos when he hits, when he takes the staff and he hits the ground. Or Harim Esmatecha, Vikisa Batsur. Or way back in Shvos Yud Zayin, when he gets the water out of the stone. Yaro V'yor, in Malachim, V'zulasa. So in many cases, man is meant to do an action. What happens as a result, the action is clearly supernatural, cannot be explained through the laws of nature. It's not like rain or anything like that. But man plays a major role in bringing about that miracle through certain actions. Not that he's the cause of the miracle, but Vagimel, the third category of miracle, who min anisim lo yuchal hatevel asosu b'shum ofen, v'zeh min ye'osak hakel yisparach yis'ale al yidei avodah v'dibur bilvat. This is an absolute violation of the rules of nature, in which man does nothing more than speak. He doesn't do any action. Shehipu lasichlit, speech is purely intellectual. V'yoter nechbedet, it's more thin, so to speak, more abstract. Mishar tnuot havagashmiot, from physical actions. And he gives the example, when the people of Bilam died, I'm sorry, of Korach died, it was pure speech on the part of Moshe. So it's speech. Now, the Sfarno wants to analyze which one of the three categories of miracles, or maybe more than one category, but which should be appropriate to convey to Klal Yisrael, in this case of the Meriva, their sin, and to rectify that. V'hinei binyan zot ha-meriva hayamin ha-hechrech la-havir es ro'as tlunos Yisrael shi'ya nes ha-nase mevuar mevayer ma'alos ha-melech ha-meshalech v'darche tuvo u'mevayer gamke ma'alos ha-shliach v'tuvo. There's a twofold purpose to this miracle of the water from the stone. It's got to clarify the greatness of the king, meaning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Meshaleach, and also the greatness of the leader of Israel, who's the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'tisbayer malas ha-Meshaleach b'min ha-shlishi min ha-nisim. If the purpose is to indicate God's great nature, then we want the third category of miracle. So again, the third category, where man plays a very insignificant role, it's pure undermining of Teva. In fact, the Ramban questions whether or not the opening of the Pi Adam was a new Bria, you know, to swallow up Korach Adoso. Be that as it may, that'll only indicate the greatness of God. But here, because the Tluna, the Meri, was against Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shliach, we need the second category of a miracle. But this Bayer Malas HaShliach B'min HaSheni Min HaNisim, because there the Shliach plays a very active role in bringing about the miracle. Uvechein, and therefore, Tzivar Kel Yisbroch She'yahafech HaSela L'mayim. Interesting. The stone itself would turn into water. Ki amro v'nosan meimav. The Sfarah has a very unique, creative understanding of the pasuk v'nosan meimav. Again, I'm going to ask you to find the pasuk if you can. What does v'nosan meimav mean? Klomar sheyu hamayim min haselah. There was another possibility. Lo nimshach mimakom acher elav. It could have been that waters would be drawn from the four corners of the world, like tributaries, into this main body, into the stone. V'zeh haya nimna. It would be absolutely impossible for a stone to convert itself to water. Zulasei unless be also nefach mitzura selitzuris mayim. That's a real phenomenal dramatic change of nature when hocus pocus a stone turns into water. Kasher heid achakach biyomer hamotzi lecha mayim mitzura chalomish. Can water be taken out of a stone? Ki im hayu hamayim muvoyim imakom acher. If the waters would be gathered from other places and drawn, you know, so to speak, by law of gravity to the stone, shav to this place, b'nes, as a miracle, lo yia hevdel bein tzur chalomish lezulasa, v'zeh min min anisen lo yuchal asoso teva v'shumaf and v'lo v'shumzman v'tziva shezeh yal yidei dibur avodav. The third category, as we said before, that indicates the greatness of Almighty God, that has to be done through Dibur. And therefore, Moshe got the command, V'dibartev al asel, v'atsheikir Yisrael, shohayizah nes min amin ha-shlishi, ka'amur, lo shi'yomayim nigrarim sham, mimakam acher. And therefore they would be told, it would be clear to them about the greatness of the Mishaleach. And therefore, v'yashivu al-libam, they'll do tshuva by thinking that even though he took him into this terrible desert, it's not a bad thing at all. He wants to be with them. He'll protect them. He has the power to convert a stone into water, and then he could defend, he could protect them against all the evils that might befall someone in the desert. Bitziva imzeh, this is on the third line, the additional command, Sha'achar she'ehofech asel l'mayim, once the first miracle would be achieved, and the stone would be converted to water, Yotzi Moshe osam ha'mayim lehem b'mateyu l'shivteyem. Now the water has to be drawn through 12 tributaries to the 12 shvatim. Ke'omro, again we'll have to open up the pasuk, b'mechokek b'mishanosah. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is meant to take the staff and use the staff to draw the water in 12 different directions. And this would be the second category of miracle. In order to achieve that additional dimension of the second category, God commanded Moshe to take this staff. With the staff, he would draw the water in 12 different directions. Vehine, here's where the sin is. Moshe the Aaron is kimu lasos hamin hasheni min hanisim ulahagir hamayim al asela mimakom acher. But Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron skipped the first level of nes that they were commanded to do, namely to speak to the sela. They jumped the gun. They jumped into the second category in which the shliach plays an active role by doing an action which brings about the miracle. In this case, they used the staff to bring water from other places. Because that's exactly what they had done in Rephidim on the first round, back in Shmos Yud Zayin, Kvo Shomar, V'Kiso, B'Tzur, V'Yotzim, and Umayim. Why did they sin, says the Sfarno? Kilo Bichu, they didn't have the faith, this is the lack of Emunah, Sheyakayim Hakel Yisbarach as Dvaro Lasos Yisrael Hamin Ashlishi Min Anisin. Now, there was a lack of faith on the part of Moshe. Again, it was very subtle. Now, here's where the Rambam sort of kicks in. Until now, the Sfarno's approach was somewhat overlapping or similar to that of the Ramban, because what's going to happen as a result of the second category of Nes? What kind of message would the Jewish people get? In whose greatness would they believe? In Moshe the Shliach. That's very similar to Notzi Lachem Mayim of the Ramban. Mm-hmm. However, at this point, he introduces a little bit of a flavor of the Rambam. B'choshvam es Yisrael, why did they lack faith that God couldn't convert the stone to water? Because they thought that Israel oz mamri, that the Jewish people were rebellious. Ma'ot. Achiyu built him Reulim Ela. They weren't ready. They weren't on the level to receive that third level, the highest level of a miracle, in which God directly intercedes and changes nature, which was meant to be the first stage of Yidbartim El Sela. Vishinochem Hashem Al Atova, that God is going to change his mind. They were afraid that if they would speak to the rock, it would not turn to water. They didn't have faith. But the lack of faith really emanated from their lack of faith in the Jewish people. Uvechein, therefore, also Saderach Amin Hashem even Anisim, that kind of miracle the Jewish people were ready for. They believed, Moshe and Aaron, that that would happen. B'mata, Asher Bo Hodia Malas Hashliach. And that demonstrated the greatness of the Shliach. Below, also as what? As Derech Amin Hashlish Asher Bo Yodiu Yisrael Malas Hamshaleach V'tuva. V'lezeh Nechtav Aleihem Lo Hemantem Bi. What does that mean, lo emantim bi? Sharotzon bo lo batachtem bi. You didn't trust me, she'ese mashamarti, that I would indeed follow through with what I promised. Uma'altem bi, as a result, this is a me'ila shechilaltem kvodi. You took for yourself, through the min hasheni, the second category, but not for me. And therefore my honor was disgraced. V'lo heresem la merivim es sichlusam u'merisam pi, Shalosha Marta Mitzvosai. And therefore, this miracle would be wasted, and it wouldn't achieve its goal. Its goal is to prove how the Mishalech is Meitiv. And that was left out. So my friends, what I find fascinating about this Sfarno is I call it Lundus almost. You know, how he analyzes the three categories of miracles. It's an unbelievably creative Sfarno. I mean, this really restores my faith in the Sfarno. And it also indicates that there are not only the different categories of miracles, but that the miracle has a definite goal that it has to achieve, and God deliberately chooses which kind of a miracle based on the fact that he wants to achieve a goal and convey a message to the people so that they'll do tshuva. What Moshe and Aaron did here was they skipped the first step of the Dibartem, and therefore they reduced the level of the miracle from the highest level of grade 3 down to level grade 2, and therefore the miracle did not achieve its goal.
So,
okay then, we'll stop here.